Thank you very much. Well, the time has passed very quickly, and I dearly regret that we've got to leave Park of the Palms tomorrow. I've never had a greater exercise than I have now about the need of Florida. But I guess we'll have to go tomorrow. I haven't made up my mind that we're going yet, but I guess we will when the time comes. We'll be friends to the end, but this is the end, friends. It's been wonderful to be here, and the fellowship has just been so tremendous again. I knew what I was coming to when I came here. No surprise, because we were keenly anticipating our visit to Park of the Palms, and we certainly rejoice with you in the Lord. It's what He is doing and what we believe He is going to do. This work has been going for some time. We know there have been difficulties in the way, as there are in any work that we do for the Lord. When the Lord is blessing, there will always be opposition. When I used to be conducting evangelistic crusades in New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, and other places, when the Lord was really moving in the hearts of the people, we had considerable opposition from the enemy. So we can expect that. But I believe the Lord who has brought you thus far along the way in Park of the Palms is not going to leave you. Now He's going to see you right through. After all, He is the one whom we're following. And if He leads, then all is well. Because if we follow Him, we are following a commander-in-chief who has never lost a battle. So we are bound to be victorious in and through His name. And we shall certainly continue to pray for the work here at Park of the Palms, especially those who have the responsibilities connected with this ministry, Mr. and Mrs. Willie, Mr. and Mrs. Meyer, all very dear to us. And we shall continue to ask that God will meet their needs, bless them richly, and you all who are with them in supporting this work for the Lord. And will you pray for us at Washington Bible College that the Lord will continue to use the witness there by the students particularly in reaching many others for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many plans for the future as it relates to the work of the Lord at the college. And we're just rejoicing at how the Lord has met the need up to this moment. The president of our college has got no gimmicks in regard to fundraising. We have got no person out beating the bushes, I believe, as you call it here, trying to raise money. Mr. Miles believes that we should tell the Lord about the need, and we have just been amazed at how the Lord has supplied the need over and over again. There have been times of great testing, but through the Lord's people, in answer to prayer, we have proved the truth of the word, that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And this is our continuing confidence in Him. Faithful provider. Now we're reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, and this morning we only got as far as verse 5. Now we've been singing the glory song, and verse 6 will come right in after the glory song, if not after verse 5. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trial, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what? or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that it since ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. May the Lord bless to us this reading from His holy word. I've been quite ambitious in my reading tonight, and I don't know whether we're going to get into chapter 2 or not, but we'll try. I can never select the last hymn until I know at what point I'm going to stop in my message. Shall we bow together in prayer? Our Father, we come to Thee, and we do thank Thee for this time that we have had together here at Park of the Palms. It's been wonderful, Thou knowest, Lord, to be here with Thine own beloved people, how we've enjoyed this experience again. And we do commend to Thee our very dear friends here, and bespeak Thy blessing upon them. They mean so much to us. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the work to which Thou hast called them, and we pray that Thou wilt continually sustain and meet every need. And now, Lord, as we turn to meditate upon Thy word, we pray that Thou wilt indeed speak to all our hearts through it, that as a result of our being here together, we may be conscious that Thou hast a plan for each life, and may we seek ever to fulfill Thy divine purpose. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, we were thinking of salvation in the ultimate sense. The salvation that will take place when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, which, says Peter, is ready to be revealed in the last time. Then he brings before us the training program which is going on for the children of God today. He speaks of the trials that we encounter. Now, the first thing he says about these trials is that it is a painful process. He uses the word heaviness in verse 6, which means having been put to grief through trials that are manifold. That means they're varied. Different kinds of trials. Then he sees that these trials are necessary, if need be. And then he also shows that they're passing, therefore a time. And I've sometimes said, in the midst of trials, that I get a lot of comfort and encouragement from words that we come across in the Bible, and it came to pass. It's good when it comes to pass. In a different sense in which it is normally used. But this can be a painful process. Peter knew this in his own experience. He knew what persecution was. He knew what opposition was to the gospel of Christ. He had been imprisoned for his faith and his dedicated service to the Lord. And as we noted yesterday, there in the prison, Peter was sound asleep, and he didn't take any sedative at all. That wonderful? He was just resting entirely in the Lord. And his peaceful sleep was due to the fact that he believed right there in the prison he was fulfilling the divine purpose. Paul knew what it was to suffer for the sake of Christ. Beloved, I was just thinking as I sat here tonight that when Ananias was sent to speak to Saul of Tarsus following his conversion, the Lord said to Ananias, when he was referring to the call of Saul into the work of the Lord, he is a chosen vessel unto me, for I will show him what things he will suffer for my name's sake. We think of the Apostle Paul having been chosen to serve, and that is true, but never let us forget that he was chosen to suffer. Do you remember when he asked for the removal of that thorn in the flesh? Some physical affliction, no doubt, that was particularly crying. Some have suggested it was a problem with eyesight. We do not know. But it was something that he found particularly painful. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And beloved, if the process is painful, never forget that God has a purpose in every circumstance in the life of the child of God. As Brother Willie reminded us tonight, we know that all things are working together for our ultimate good. And if I hadn't believed Romans 8:28, I would have felt like quitting at least 101 times. But I believe that although we cannot understand or explain now this painful process, the day is coming when we'll bless the hand that guided and bless the heart that planned when throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why that the dark threads are as needful in the skillful weaver's hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Then you will note here that it is a proving process. The trial of your faith, which is so precious. Abraham is often spoken of
as a man of faith. And he perhaps is one of the most outstanding examples of faith in all the Word of God. A very dark day dawned for Abraham. Take now thy son Isaac. That son that was so precious to him. That son in whom he saw a wonderful future. Take now thine only son Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice upon Mount Moriah. Beloved, the Lord was not going to take Isaac in order to deprive him of the blessings he had promised. But the real reason for this experience was to prove or to test the reality of Abraham's faith. This was a severe test. This was a proving process in the life of Abraham. And Abraham did not falter nor fail. He believed that even although Isaac had been taken from him, yet a miracle he believed could take place. And Isaac could be raised up again from the dead. And when they walked back from that place where the ram caught in the thicket was sacrificed in place of Isaac, to Abraham it seemed as if his son had been given back to him from the dead, because Abraham accounted that God was faithful to perform what he had promised. And God had said that in Isaac all the future blessings would be centered and they would emanate from him according to the flesh. A proving process. Then verse 7 indicates that trials are a purifying process. Testing metal cleanses and proves it. Trials purify and strengthen. Gold is a pure metal of great value. But beloved, so is faith. It's of great value. Job could write, "For he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And in that same chapter in Job 23, he says, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." God performs the thing that is appointed for us. We believe that these varied circumstances, these extraordinary experiences, can have a purification, a cleansing effect upon our life. Oh, how precious the Lord becomes to us. It may be that there is much sickness. It may be that there is great sorrow. It could be that there is some other great problem or difficulty or need in life. But if we'll accept these trying circumstances as being in the will and purpose of God, then we shall receive a blessing even in the midst of buffeting. Painful process, a proving process, a purifying process, and a perfecting process. That they might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Peter had been told by the Lord, as recorded in John chapter 21, that when it came to the time of his death, this would glorify God. The psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saint. The perfecting process is going on now, in order that in that coming day we shall enter into a greater enjoyment of the fullness of the blessing that we have in Jesus Christ. A story is told back there in Scotland concerning the days long ago when there was considerable tension between Scotland and England. It's all been settled and everything's just fine now. Mr. and Mrs. Willie say no. Well, by the grace of God, it has in now. But way back in those early days, there was a man somewhere near the borders of Scotland who was, he was on the right side of the border, by the way, that's the Scottish side. And he was wrongly imprisoned. He was in prison for some considerable time. And then finally, after being in chains, it was decided that he had never really been guilty of the offense that had confined him to the jail. And it was decided that he would receive in gold equal weight to the chains that had bound him. They put the chains on one side of the scale, and then they put gold on the other. And he got the equivalent in gold for all that he had suffered during the time of his imprisonment. Being a Scotsman, of course, he was sorry that the chains hadn't been heavier. But, beloved, our light affliction, sometimes we do not think it's so very light, is but for a moment. It will soon pass. But let us look ahead to the eternal weight of glory. And when Peter writes of the sufferings of Christ, remember he speaks of the glory that's to follow. And although there may be difficulties in this scene, yet let us remember that if we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, we can expect a trial. For it is the way the master went. Should not his servant tread it still? Now we come to the fullness of joy in verse 8. It's spoken of here as joy unspeakable and full of glory. Unspeakable, that is, it cannot be expressed. Full of glory, that means that heaven is anticipated now. One of the hymns that we sing at the college is John Peterson's Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. I was at Word of Life Camp, 1963, when that hymn was first used. It just comes straight from John Peterson at that point. And I took it straight back to New Zealand with me. And all around New Zealand they were singing, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. This is what Peter is speaking of here. Now how does this joy come? I think he gives us three reasons. First of all, through love, whom not having seen, ye love. O beloved believer in Christ,
Our Lord is unseen. But praise his name, he is not unknown. We know him. He means everything to us. And although with the natural eye we cannot see him now, oh, the joy that fills our hearts because of who he is and because of what he has done. And we're looking forward with eager anticipation when that moment when we shall see him, and then we shall enter into the fullness of the joy that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. I wonder when Peter was writing this, if he thought of the scene at the upper room after the resurrection of Christ. You remember the disciples were gathered together and Thomas was absent that day. You remember what Thomas said. He made a very strong statement concerning the proof that he would have to have before he would believe that it was the Lord Jesus. But oh, when Thomas was present that following Lord's Day, when under similar circumstances the Savior appeared, all that Thomas could explain was, my Lord and my God. And the Savior said, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed or happy are they who have not seen me and yet have believed. And it may well be that Peter recalled this as he wrote these lines. Through love, we enter in to this experience of joy. Then through faith, in whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, faith can see the invisible. Faith can lay hold of that which seems to be impossible. Doubt sees the obstacle. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darksome night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take the step. Faith soars on high. Doubt whispers, who believes? Faith answers, I. Fear not, believe only. Through faith, we can enter into this experience of the joy of the Lord. And then through hope, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. This word receiving means acquiring and making it your own. The end, of course, is the completion. So we look forward and hope brings joy to our hearts. That is why the glory song is so meaningful and wonderful to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our joy is full as we anticipate his appearing. Now in verses 10 through 12, we have a great salvation. We note in verses 10 and 11 that this was the subject of Old Testament prophecy. The prophet sought and searched. They looked for evidence of the time and circumstances of the coming of the Messiah. Verse 11 shows that their message related to the suffering and glory of Christ. The subject of prophecy related to salvation. Then it was the subject of testimony by the apostles, as we note in verse 12. Unto us, it says, and then we note the preaching of the gospel was in the power of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The apostles gave testimony
to the greatness of salvation. Verse 12 also shows us that it is the subject of inquiry by the angels. They desire to look into it. And of course, as we note here, it must always be the subject of divine authority. For the Spirit of Christ, as we see in verse 11, was in the Old Testament prophets, and the Holy Ghost is in the New Testament preachers as they present the emancipating evangel of Jesus Christ. The subject of Old Testament prophecy, the subject of testimony by the apostles, the subject of inquiry by the angels, and the subject of divine authority. It comes from God Himself. In verses 13 through 16, we have an abiding hope. Hope to the end, says Peter. Or hope perfectly or completely. Now in verse 13, there is a preparation spoken of in connection with this hope. Girding up the loins of your mind. The girding up suggests flowing robes. If we're going to make any progress, we've got to gather up these flowing robes, gird them so that we're able to move ahead as quickly as possible. Here it would indicate bringing every thought into captivity in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of concentration. Girding up the loins of your mind. The preparation for that coming glorious day. And you will note here, he says, be sober, be fully alert, as you anticipate the consummation of all things. Then the foundation of this hope is in the grace of God. The expectation of it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. My dear friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are expecting a great event to take place. We are looking forward to that coming. But there's something more precious to me than just the fact that an event is expected. We're looking for a person to come. The Thessalonians turned to God for life, to serve the living and true God, and to wake up for His Son from heaven. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, says, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our great expectation tonight. Then, he says, in view of all this, there should be sanctification. There should be holy living. We should be obedient children. We should not be conformed to the world system, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. As children of God, we should be obedient. As children of God, we should be different from those who are unsaved. And as children of God, we should be consistent. For the word in verse 15 is, be holy. And again in verse 16, the word of the Lord, be holy, for I am holy. And with all this in view, says Peter, the fear of the Lord should ever characterize us. Verse 17, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That is, in reverential awe. Honoring the Lord in the true sense of the term.
having a wholesome dread of doing anything that would displease him. This is not fear in the sense in which we normally use it, because John makes it perfectly plain that there is no fear in love, but we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And A.W. Tozer has rightly said, we shall never really know the grace of God in a true way until we know the fear of God. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And Peter says that there are three reasons why the fear of the Lord should ever be in our minds and hearts. First of all, because of our relationship to the Father. We are members of his family. And our desire is to do what the Father desires, to be obedient as his children. Then because of redemption. He says, you know you were redeemed. Not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, and without spot. Redemption shows us that a debt has been paid, that a discharge has been made, and that deliverance has been assured. The blood has always precious been. 'Tis precious now to me. Through it alone my soul hath rest. From fear and doubt set free. All wondrous is the crimson tide which from my Saviour flows. And still in heaven my song shall be the precious, precious blood. Peter speaks of the value of the blood. John, in 1 John 1 and 7, tells us of the virtue that there is in the blood. It cleanseth us from all sin. And when he is writing in the book of the Revelation, he reveals to us the victory that's going to be celebrated through the same precious blood. For our song in heaven shall be unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Relationship, redemption, and then resurrection, as we note in verse 21, referring to Christ. He says, raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. And this, says Peter, is the basis of your faith and hope. Now in verse 22, his statement is, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls, that's our whole being in view here, so that there is a thought of purity. Then he says, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, this implies reality. And then the word fervently suggests the intensity of this love that we should have one for the other. This spiritual love is the result of a spiritual life. And this is what we come to now quickly in verse 23. Having been begotten again. Perfect tense of the verb here indicates a life that has been bestowed and still abides. Because we live, beloved, we love. For to love is really to live. A lasting life is the reason for lasting love. And you will note here in verse 23 that he says that we have been born again or begotten again by the incorruptible seed.
which is the Word of God. And this, he declares, is that which liveth and abideth forever. It is incorruptible. Then it is indestructible. It liveth and abideth forever. Not like the grass that withereth and the flower that falleth away. An incorruptible word. An indestructible word. An infallible word. Verse 25. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And in this context, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speakings. The incorruptible word of God, the indestructible word of God, the infallible word of God, and then the incomparable word of God. Verse 2 of chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And if we are going to make spiritual progress, if spiritual growth is going to characterize us as the children of God, then we must of necessity feed upon the word of God. To the Apostle Peter, the word of the Lord had been most meaningful. You remember in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, when the Lord was about to call Peter into the full-time ministry, when he told him to launch out into the deep, Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. There was the response to the word. When Peter gave that testimony as recorded in John 6, verse 68, he says concerning Christ, thou hast the words of eternal life. He recognized the value of the word spoken by the matchless Son of God. And in Luke 22, verse 61, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Why does Peter say here as newborn babes? These Christians had been established in the faith for perhaps some considerable time. I believe here is the thought of dependence. Just as a baby is dependent on its mother, so we should be dependent upon the Lord. And notice the word desire is a strong word. It means longing for the word of God. We are dependent upon the Lord and upon His Word. I trust that we earnestly desire His Word. For it is through the Word of God that there comes the development in our Christian life, that ye may grow thereby. When the food is right, all that we need is the right appetite and the right acceptance of it. We have the milk of the Word of God. God grants that we may desire it, that we may have a stronger appetite for the Word of God, that we may receive it, accept it, appropriate it, make it our own. And then the process of assimilation proceeds, as we see in verse 3. Since ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And this word tasted means experience. Proven that the Lord is gracious. Beloved, Simon Peter had given his allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, who meant so much in his life. From then on, his life was dedicated to the service of the Master. And he was waiting for that moment when he would be called into the presence of the one whom he loved so devotedly and whom he served so diligently. And as he waited for that day, he sought to work in the interest of the blessed Savior. And I believe that through the studies we've had in the life of Simon Peter, we can learn lessons that will prove to be invaluable to us in our own experience, even though there may be many trials in life. Yet beyond there shines the glory. Sufferings now, but all the glory there. And what a blessed hope we have as believers in Jesus Christ tonight, that the Savior himself is coming to call us into the glory of the Father's house of many mansions. And he could come tonight. I wonder if there is anyone in this service who has never yet acknowledged his or her sin and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The words of the Master are, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And beloved, as we look forward to that day, although we do not see the Lord now, yet he is the one that we love intensely. He is so wonderful, our blessed Savior and Lord. But the best is yet to be. For John, in writing in Revelation 22 verse 4, says, "And they shall see his face." May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts and encourage us as we await his appearing. Shall we sing now with our closing hymn number 392? "Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face what will it be, when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Only faintly now I see him, whom having not seen ye love, with the darkling veil between, but a blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen." Shall we sing verses 3 and 4, 392. Just bow for a moment in quiet meditation. We have been looking at the purpose of trials in the Christian life. But beloved, the day is fast approaching when all these sufferings of this present life will be ended forever. Let us see even now God's purpose in allowing these circumstances to take place. Let us believe in God tonight, that He is silently planning for us in love. Let us rely entirely upon His Word. May His love for us become the motivating factor in a deeper devotion to Himself and in a greater diligence in His service. Lord, Thou knowest all things, said Peter. Thou knowest that we love Thee, and I'm sure that is the response from your heart tonight. And beloved, this living hope is so wonderful to us as believers. Any moment now, we may enter in to His presence where there is fullness of joy. Oh, what a glorious hope we have tonight in Jesus Christ. He has given us His Word to sustain us, to strengthen us, to build us up in the Christian life as we await His appearing. We are waiting for His coming. We are watching for the Lord to return to receive us into His own presence. Let's just think of these tremendous truths now as we're about to close. And as we contemplate them, may I suggest that perhaps in a new way tonight, you commit your life entirely to the Lord. Hand it all over to Him. Don't hold anything back tonight. Just say, Lord, here I am. You redeem me. You shed your precious blood to make me your own. Lord Jesus, I want you to have all there is of me. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. O Lord Jesus, in these moments that are so precious to us, because these are the last few moments we're going to spend together in this way at Park of the Palms, perhaps before another meeting is held here, there will be the meeting in the air. What rejoicing in Thy presence. Lord Jesus, wilt Thou help us to live a life that indicates so clearly that we really believe in Thine imminent repeat appearing? Thou art coming soon to call us home. Lord, help us to live daily expecting Thee to return. Oh Lord, speak to hearts tonight. Thou hast spoken to my own heart through the very message I brought to others. Lord, we pray that decisions may be made in lives tonight that will bring glory to Thy name, blessing to those concerned, and may it result in a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God in and through those lives that Thou hast taken to be Thy very own for Thy service. Lord Jesus, we bow low before Thy scarred and sacred feet. In these precious moments, wilt Thou draw very near to us? Lord Jesus, we do love Thee. And we do want to do everything that we can under thy mighty power to fulfill thy purpose in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do in the days that lie ahead. And, oh, blessed Lord, even this evening, as we are about to conclude this service, we would hear thee saying again, surely I come quickly. And the response of love from our hearts causes us to say with great joy, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen. God be with you till we meet again.